Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors.
Well, what a year 2020 was. I mean, from a performance perspective, we started the year well, but we came into the year from a strong 2019, which was the group's ninth consecutive year of growth. So that stood us in really good stead, so that when the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic was first felt in our Asian offices, we could clearly sort of see that there was going to be a deep and profound impact across the group. So we kind of adopted a strategy of firstly survive, you know, really sort of batten down the hatches, really strong sort of cash management, for quickly moving into strive, because we are a service-based business. We had a lot of clients continuing to demand creative and strategic solutions, so we had to deliver against those briefs. But in parallel, really that third part of the strategy, thrive, how can we grow through the back of this, and how can we deliver increased performance in a sequential way, really quarter to quarter, but certainly month to month. And that's really how 2020 panned out. At its worst in quarter two, we were actually 39% down year on year. But as I mentioned, that's when we made our very deep, swift decisions with regards to cost management and the structure of the group and the agencies within the group, so that we improved through quarter three and in quarter four, and our H2 margins actually bounced back to a creditable 11.5%. So we ended the year profitably, achieving profitable performance, and actually in the process reducing our net debt to an all-time low, a historic low for the group. So that's quite an achievement in the circumstances. And if we look at the headline PPT, that actually outperformed the revised Citi expectation that they had for us in 2020. Now, as I mentioned, we are a service-based business, so that is all down to the people within the group. We are a true collective. So really just have to thank the hard work and the endeavours of everybody in the group, because everybody was going through both personal as well as those professional challenges, trying to adapt to new ways of working, trying to balance both the home and obviously their professional commitments. And they just, you know, were humbling to me the way that they did that. So a massive thank you to everybody in the group for as I say, quite an astonishing achievement given the circumstances. As I mentioned, we did see a significant improvement in the second half of the year. And that's really because that swift decision making that we made at the onset of the pandemic in the March-April timeframe had that ability to sort of bear fruit. And actually, you know, we really did see that benefit coming through in the second half of the year. So I really think the improved performance was firstly down to the cost management decisions that we made. That was around people, but also around property. We had two London offices that we were able to exit the leases of, and that had a material benefit in the year. But as I mentioned, restructuring in some of those agencies that were impacted at the start of the pandemic allowed us to build up that head of steam for that second half year improved performance. The other thing as well is, as a group, we are a collective and we do really advocate and promote that cross referral of business. We want to try and keep as much of a client spend within the group as possible. And oftentimes this isn't increasing a client spend, it's actually spend that might be elsewhere with another agency, with another advertising or marketing group. And in 2020, we actually managed to cross-refer 3.6 million of revenue to other agencies within the group. So that's phenomenal. And that actually really is enhanced by our client retention figures, which again are best in class. 50% of our revenue comes from clients we've had for 5 years or more. And actually 20% comes from clients that we've had for over 20 years. So in a challenging year like 2020, when that client spent naturally, because they are obviously looking at their own cost management, they're concerned about their own businesses, will reduce in some areas, having that length and depth of relationship means that we are there when they're rebounding. And so when they're making their decisions in the second half of the year, because they want to capitalize and not waste a year, we were obviously there because, as I say, we have that strong relationship. The clients didn't leave us. They didn't move away from us. They were just moderating their own spend. So when that spend came back in, we were there ready to work with them and continue that partnership. Also, notably in 2020, and certainly again in the second half of the year, there was a dearth of new business activity. You know, clients weren't looking to move their business, as I say, because they were more considered around their own spend and managing their own costs. But what little new business there was in the market, we were able to perform well against and actually satisfy some of those briefs. Most notably, INEOS Hygienics was a new client to us, and we did a mass media campaign that reached 26 million people and actually was one of the fastest growing stores on Amazon in the second half of the year. So alongside client retention, good, strong cost management, we were also delivering very complex multimedia briefs for a new set of clients. And I think that's really what led to that second half year improvement. So when we look at whether any agencies have performed better than others in the group, it's probably worthwhile me just sort of taking a moment to sort of step back and explain how the group is structured, because we are broken up into three parts. We have generalist agencies. These are agencies that, again, deliver multimedia mass communications, but they do so for any nature of clients. That could be B2B, that could be consumer. They will work with a wide range of clients and against any particular briefs. That's different to our specialist agencies, who again deliver multimedia campaigns, but they do it for a particular industry. So we have a strength in technology, property, healthcare, sports and entertainment, but they go very deep for clients who specialize in that area, hence their difference to our generalist agencies. The third group, which I'll come back to in a moment, is actually Mission Advantage, which is a more consultative based group of agencies that work with those generalists and specialists to deliver a full service to all of our clients. So when we're unpicking agency performance, actually the generalists performed largely in line with the industry. You know, they followed the curve of the industry performance where, you know, sort of quarter two was where the impact, but then built back up through quarter three and quarter four. But it was more around our specialists where we had some of those swings, both good and also bad, because they do mirror the industries within which they operate. Property, as we all know, shut down pretty much immediately in April because we work in that new homes and the property development space. So people weren't able to visit the sites. They also weren't able to, as I say, spend time working through a show home, looking at all of those materials. And indeed, those developers weren't opening new sites because they couldn't get the construction services to build those properties. So there wasn't a quite immediate shutdown in that April-May timeframe. So our property business clearly would have felt that impact. And so that's something that were performing less well in 2020 than it had done in previous years. On the other hand, our technology agency, April 6, actually grew year on year. Its contribution to our profits increased by 12%. It had 33 new client wins in 2020, and actually its core business grew by over 10%. So that was one of the strong performers. We've also got some interesting businesses in the MarTech space, one of which is Pathfinder. And Pathfinder is a what's known as an IIoT, so the Industrial Internet of Things, but it is an asset tracking solution in large-scale manufacturing. So again, similar to the property industry, they were shut down. You know, people, the employees weren't able to go into those facilities, and certainly suppliers such as Pathfinder weren't able to go into those facilities to scope out and implement their solution. But just to demonstrate the innovation within the group, they actually pivoted and came up with a new product, which was called a safe distancing assistant, which was a very simple device delivering against that health and safety aspect, which measured the distance between employees. It was a wearable piece of tech, and that resulted in 1.1 million of sales in 2020. From a standing start, the product was launched in April and went on sale in May. And again, it just sort of shows you some of the innovation because, you know, when you're prohibited from working in one way, how do we open up and how do we operate in a new way? And that's what the group is really good at and really strong at. As I mentioned before, the group is separated really into sort of three areas, generalist specialists and a thing called Mission Advantage. And this is really where we can add value to all of our agencies, both in the generalist and the specialist space, but also those agencies that sit in that Mission Advantage grouping. Now, that Mission Advantage grouping are specialist services that might be non-core to some of our other businesses. PR is one, promotional marketing sits in there as well, as does a market-leading events business. But in 2020, despite all of the other distractions with regards to both the market and trading, we continued our growth through acquisition by supplementing these services. So again, all of our businesses have a full suite, a full range of disciplines to offer their clients. So two new additions in 2020 were Alive, a Singapore-based brand activation and experiential marketing agency. Really good clients in Western Union, Nando's, and working in the financial services sector. So they are well placed for us to grow in that region, but also in partnership with some of our other agencies that will look to activate for their own clients. The other acquisition that we made in 2020 was a behavioral science consultancy called Innovation Bubble. Unusual for our space because they're actually a team of psychologists. They really get under the skin of why consumers make the decisions that they make. Most of the research in our industry is post-purchase or post some decision, some trigger that a consumer has made. An Innovation Bubble actually flipped that on its head and used psychological tools to really unpick the why. It's a very powerful addition to the group. And as I say, through our delivery of an agency-first culture, so all of our agencies have their own unique DNA, their unique approach and process and routes to market, by augmenting that Mission Advantage, we can give them cutting-edge tools to make sure that they are at the forefront of our industry. In 2019, we launched our Diversity and Inclusion Manifesto. And again, despite the challenges of last year, we really wanted to keep the pace in this area. So we broadened that out and we launched an ESG manifesto covering a wider range of topics that, again, we need to be at the forefront at. We want to drive it not for only our group, but also for our industry as well. Now, we are well aware that we are not specialists in this area, so we are working with specialist partners, Creative Access and Green Element, to really drive not only the group, but each individual agency forward. We have set ourselves some very challenging, but science-based targets and goals. They are published in the manifesto and they cover a wide range of areas, notably apprenticeships. We currently have around about 35 apprentices in the group, and we want to double that over the next 24 months. Also, a focus on gender. We want a 50-50 gender split across our workforce, again, by 2023. So it's a really hard targets that we're setting ourselves, but some things that we really, really believe in. So that's something that I'm proud that we've launched in 2020 as well. So if we look forward to the outlook, both for 2021 and beyond for the mission, it's really positive. And obviously, I'm sure you would say I would say that, but I'm really positive and enthused about it for a number of reasons. But before I get into that, I actually just want to say another thank you, because one of the things that we did at the height of the pandemic, again, around our cash management tactics, was to defer the dividend that we'd already stated in our 2019 annual report and accounts. And we know this is very important to our investors, to our shareholders, that we have a progressive dividend policy. So I'm very pleased to say that we were able to reinstate that, which was a commitment that we made in our January trading update this year, because, again, this is something that is very important to us. And as I mentioned, we are keen going forward, whilst 2020 was a very difficult year and obviously understandably a difficult year upon which to pay a dividend, which is not what we're recommending. We are committed to that progressive dividend policy. So again, a thank you just really to the understanding of our shareholders, to support that decision that we made. So looking forward again to 2021. Now, 2021 started well. We've just completed the first quarter and we have continued to see that sequential recovery and that direction of travel continue in 2021. Obviously, I have to make the caveats around the continuation of the roadmap out of lockdown and obviously the effectiveness of the mass vaccination program. But that withstanding, as I mentioned, Q1 2021 was better than Q4, despite us being in a full lockdown for the whole of the quarter. So if we can continue that direction of travel throughout the course of 2021. We see no reason why we can't get back to pre-pandemic run rates at the back end of the year. That will be through a number of things: a continuation of our strong performers in 2020. So our technology business, April 6, has again started the year well and looks set fair for a full year strong performance. That will also be with North America and the North American operations continuing to grow. Think BDW, our property business, as I mentioned, was adversely affected last year by the challenges within that industry. That again looks like it's going to recover in line with that industry. They invested when they were able to last year in a more digitally focused operation and also outside of residential into some commercial property developments. And both of those has borne fruit in the first quarter of this year with new contracts already, significant new contracts coming through. So that agency and that business looks to continue and perform well. And then, as I mentioned, if we can get all of our core clients, and again, clients that we've retained for a number of years, to continue to work with us in partnership this year, then, as I say, we look set to be in line with our expectations and the challenging expectations that we've set our group for 2021. The other thing it's worthwhile mentioning is that we don't stop with our innovation. We have created a new division within the group called Mission Made. Mission Made is a product production and innovation studio. It will operate 24/7 because it will have hubs in the UK and also in Asia and in time in North America as well. But it is an internal operation to satisfy really the digital needs and the ever-growing digital needs of the group. By having it consolidated, by supporting agencies that might not have the depth of resource within their own business, if they do, that is fantastic, but where they don't, we're filling those gaps, allows us to have a single investment conversation to bolster our e-commerce capabilities, our ever-increasing remit in AI and VR as well. So that's a significant initiative, which I'm looking forward to seeing progress this year. We also know that there's going to be a lot of opportunities for ourselves in terms of acquisitions. You know, as I say, and you'll have seen it from our results, you know, we had a good, strong cash management position, which, you know, resulted in a strong net debt position at the end of the year. So that means that we can target and continue to grow through acquisitions. So we've got a keen eye on opportunities that will present themselves in the marketplace. But again, it's all down to the talent that we have. So my confidence in our performance this year is because I've seen what the team can do. I've seen that the team didn't miss a beat working remotely. So as we are allowed back into the offices, and I know this common hybrid model, which I'm sure we will adopt as well, really takes root. Then again, as I say, in the second half of the year, in line with the progressive nature of our industry, I see us performing again strongly. So yes, I feel very positive about the outlook for 2020.
PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.